Here's Craft the Brad with Impact today.
How do you separate yourself from false? Okay, Matthew chapter 15, the Bible says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he said unto them, this is Jesus talking, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. Verse 5 says, but ye say, whatsoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift. But whatsoever thou mightest be profit by me, and honor not thy father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well do Isaiah the prophecy of you, saying, the people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines of commandments of men. And I want to talk to you today about how do you separate yourself from false and what God is doing. How do you separate yourself? Because sometimes as believers, we can be doing the same thing that worldly people are doing, but we think we're different because we're saying something different. You know? We see here the Pharisees, they were, you know, Jesus was basically telling them, you're talking about they don't understand. This is how worldly people are do. They'll call you out on something when they got all kind of stuff going on in their life. In the world will do that. They'll have a high standard for you, but they can do anything because they're not in the church. And some of us are still gauging our lives based off what these people say. If they come and tell you, you ain't no real Christian, you're taking that to heart. People in the world, Pharisees, you know, they don't care about God. They're living a life that they want to live, but you allowing them to talk you and rattle your emotions just because they're saying something to make you think like you're not a real Christian. How many know you ought not be like that? Are you here with me? Jesus told him, say, man, you're talking to me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You're not really with me. And God is looking for a company of people that's really with him now. You know, are you really with God? Can you walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Can we get to a place where stuff can happen and we still not move because on the inside we're governed by what God is saying? Or do we still have to have so much counseling sessions about Christians where their emotions are going up and down, up and down? You got to worry about the mood swings of believers. They have something, you know, you know, let me tell you, if you weak, circumstances still rule you. You know, things can happen and it throw you off. That's how you know you got to grow. The Bible says if you fall in adversity, your strength is small. And we have to learn how to gather ourselves so that we can look to God so that these things don't keep bombarding us. Because some of us don't even get out to the playing field because people are telling us. People, the voice of people, they're telling us what Christianity can do, what they can't do. And most of us are listening to it. And I want to talk to you today about how do you separate yourself from what's false? Basic message, but you got to make sure you're doing these things if you're going to grow. If you're not doing it, you can quote the word. Now, y'all know good and well, you can know the word and the word not be in you. You can quote all kinds of scriptures, but you're not walking nothing out. What good of me worshiping God, praying, tithing, tongues, and keep doing this in 4 or 5 years, and here I get into a little trouble, and I can't do nothing. I wither like people in the world. We might as well have served the world. We are believers, and we sorrow as though we have no hope sometimes. And we have to trust God. Are y'all with me? So let me give you a few things that you've got to realize, that if you're not going to be on that false side, you got to make up in your mind. Number one, you got to be a doer of the word. And what is a doer of the word? This is somebody that regularly practices the word. When you go home at night, you got to practice the word. You got to practice. That's why when you go to work, that's your practice. You got to get the word out. You just can't say, I'm a doer of the word because you got a word and you study at home. No, doer of the word means I go into a situation and I do it. When you do that, it brings clashing. It brings things to you. For instance, if some of you hear a word here on Sunday about the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and you know that's God inside, when you get to the job that morning or sometime that week, you will see a situation, and your spirit man gonna say, do something, but now you gotta make up in your mind whether you gonna do the word or you gonna sit back. When you false like the Pharisees, you say, oh, I'll do it later. I don't have to do that now. I can just, you know, I'll wait till another time. Or you come back and you say, man, I wish I could have done it. And how many know we've all done that? But I'm saying we got to get to a point where when God is speaking to you, you got to do the word. You do the word when they go to the school board meeting, Andy, and they start talking about condoms in the church, in the school. And you say, no. I don't care how many of y'all think that's the common thing. We do what's right. That's a doer of the word. You do the word when you go to around your family and all kind of pressure come, but God wants you to speak something and you know it's God. Not just you wanting to showcase the gospel, but you know these people need God and you know it's an unction. You do the word when you break through your feelings, your emotions, and you sit auntie down and say, you know what? I got to tell you something. I don't know, but God is saying this. That's a doer of the word. Most believers, we keep to ourselves. And we don't say nothing. You go to church, we go to church. We got to know God wants us to be in the earth and change the earth. Sometimes you got to speak up. You got to wait on God for that moment, and then you got to let it go. You can't let the enemy box us in, because while we're waiting, God is saying, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. And now we get into a big old altercation or whatnot with Pharisees. They sidelining the work. You know what the Pharisees is in our day? The government. They'll tell you you can't do certain things. They'll tell you, oh, no, this is not this. You know, I remember reading a book with Smith Wigglesworth, I believe, and he raised this lady from the dead. But see, we in this day and time now, it would be difficult because once you embalm and all that, they take the body immediately. Back then, the body could just sit for a few days. You could do whatever you wanted to do. But the government comes in and regulate things according to the way the laws of the land. And sometimes the government has to have another government above it. And that government is the government of God. But believers have to execute that. Can you imagine going against the entire government and saying something that God is saying, but the government is doing something else? I mean, just think about it. Going to the African American church and say something negative about Barack Obama. That's how you feel. Say something negative. But sometimes you'll be hoodwinked by culture and not by God's agenda. He's a liberal. And some of us will just say, oh, yeah, this is, yeah, he may have been the best candidate. At the same time, when you can call him a godly man, you are blind. You're blind. You're not a Christian if you can call him a godly man. And believers don't even believe it. A godly president gets up and he eradicates all kinds of homosexuality. He just says, no, that's not right. That's a godly one. Not, oh, we got to be for the people. No. What do you believe? How do you get in office and then do things for the people? No, we put you there for your belief system. Not for you to say, oh, but the people and all kind of stuff. We're not doing no health care and all this stuff. And we don't even have the money and all that for something that God didn't do. That's where corruption begins. A godly president gets up and he says, there's some things we're going to clean house with. We don't believe in stem cell and all this stuff about creating other babies and all kind of crazy stuff like that. No, no, no. God didn't do. See, godliness is what God would do. But see, we've been blind for so long, Christians don't even believe that. We glad because he got a book in the Christian bookstore. Oh, he's a Christian. That's how blind we are. You're made a Christian by what you do. And if you can call these people Christians, you're blind. Most of those people will come into church when they're ready to win for office. And you got to realize people can have a good heart. We know Barack got a good heart. He got good intentions. But godliness, there has to be a standard. When you're godly, you go and you're more discerning. You don't try to stay politically correct on stuff. You say, boys, we're not meeting today. Let's write some new laws. Let's make some laws to accommodate the move of God. That's a godly leader. So when you go and you say the superintendent or the president of some kind of club, when you say godly, a godly decisions have to be made. And I can tell you now, the kind of decisions that need to be made are drastic. In other words, they're going to be like one side to the other, extreme. Because we're in a state of emergency. We're in a state of emergency. Our children are dying. Our people are killing each other. We used to hear about murders once a year. Now it's almost every day somebody getting killed. Earthquakes, rumors of wars. Y'all, we're seeing it. Our country is at war right now for years. If you don't understand the end times, you got to be blind. You don't see this, you got to be blind. That Jesus is looking for people now that will stand up. But if you don't separate yourself from the false and what God is doing, you're going to get what they get. How sad would it be when believers are sucked into Babylon or into the system when God is trying to tell them to come out? It's sad. And it ain't nothing we can do at that point. Are you with me? We can begin to stand, but you got to be a doer. If you are a doer of the word, you separate yourself because doers take action. Action causes things to happen. There's a cause and effect. Action. You got to do it. Sometimes you can hear something and then the enemy can talk you out of it. You let your mind drift you off of it. If you're going to be somebody to do the word, you got to be mindful that you got to take action. You do the word by taking action. Take action. What is God telling you to do? Do it. Are you with me? So again, make sure you do that because the hypocrites and the Pharisees, they're not going to do that. They're going to always look at you and try to make you feel like something ain't right and all that. Are you here with me? So again, let me give you another thing. If you're going to separate yourself from the false and the true, you got to stay around people that's building you. Why is this? Because when you're around Pharisees, y'all, they're just going to keep talking against where you're going. This is the most underrated attack that Christians look at. Who you hang out with? Who's calling your cell phone? If I took everybody who calls your cell phone, family included, on a daily basis, would these people be able to help launch you if you was to just go out? Could those people take you and talk you into going towards your destiny? If that's not the case, you probably won't get there. Because most believers, we minimize that. Job got up and began to curse because he sat around his friends, his bad friends, for days. But how many of us do that? I'm not talking about people who won't harm you physically and all that. But I'm talking about people, you got to get around people that's building you. Are they building you? Not giving you some quote of the morning and all that. No, you need to hear something spiritual to enlighten you. When you don't do that, you disarm your own self to go into your own purpose and destiny. And God is now beginning to look for people who will not just draw nigh to him with lip service. That stuff is fading out. Churches talking about, well, we've been in the community. You in the community like everybody else. Need to put you on that fan with the construction workers and everybody else, the doctors. Just minimize God. Why? Because there's nothing different. So what? You've been here. And you come through the bank for years. You use our bank. But where's God doing something? You separate yourself because you hang out with people that's building you. The choice is yours. Because some of y'all have still been here and you ain't changed your friends. Oh, I can't do it. And no, she's okay. Just because people talk spiritual doesn't necessarily mean that they are for you. Anybody can talk about God. You got to get with people who are moving. If they're not moving, they can't do nothing for you. See, y'all, we can hear about, oh, yeah, she's saving. She's doing this. He's got a church. All that stuff don't matter now. The Pharisees were doing that. You can, when it comes to your life, it's sort of like some people say, well, you know, I believe in all kids. But yeah, but you let a child who's been mischievous and stealing and robbing, been to jail, you're not going to bring that child and just mix them with your thing that you're building. You can help them, but you're not going to bring them in to the inside to corrupt when you haven't built something to help them on the inside. In other words, you're going to let one apple spoil everything? That doesn't make sense. You have to help in a different way, but you're not going to do that. But when you don't realize who you're around, some of us were still flattered because people are saved. A lot of people saved. They accepted the Lord and they don't do no wrong. But there's a big difference when they're helping you get to your destiny. They can prophesy. They can sing. They can do all these things. Okay. But I've known you for 5 years and you're still doing the same thing. You're still in the same place. You're not moving forward. I understand you got challenges, but at some way, let me tell you how you know somebody is really growing, because they've navigated a way to break through in their life. You want to know whether God is really being unleashed? They've navigated. You can't teach that. You can't teach that. They've navigated. In other words, Andy, I'll say, you know what? Nobody's showing me. I don't know what to do. But guess what? God about to show me himself. I wish it was somebody here, but I'm going to dig this out because I know I got something inside that God is saying. But see, when you hang around people, the same thing where people are godly people, when they're not purpose-driven, and not moving, they become an ally of the enemy. Because the moment you start to do something new, they'll make you feel like you're comfortable. Well, but Denise, you're trying. You can't do it. Rome wasn't built overnight. When you know God is pushing you, you know he's stretching you, and now she's pulling you, a Christian. She's pulling you down off of the wall. You're okay. It don't take all that. Just wait on God's timing. Those are Pharisees. spirits that come tell you just wait on God, he'll make a way. No, you got to push into God. See, people in destiny say, you know what? It sounds like God is pushing you to new heights. And Cassie, you need to seek God a little bit more. You don't need to hear nothing from nobody else. You need to seek God. I know it's been good the last few years with me and you, but look like God is moving you forward. And I've got a few dilemmas in my life, but I want you to take it to the next level. But when you don't got people like that, you just sit there. And you allow people to talk you out of where God is trying to stretch you into. You know why? Because you're around the wrong people. That's why when God raises us up even more around politicians or, you know, people like professionals and all that, you can't be getting flattered like that. You know, okay, somebody is a superstar in the natural eye. He may have, but that don't mean nothing. You know, I mean, because when it all said and done, you got to lay in a casket like everybody else. You got to answer to God. Don't let the cares of this world. And you know, people come in and we just, oh, well, they were in church. Okay. The congressman. I want to know what's his rap sheet when it comes to making decisions. When it comes for him to ban a bill or to add his say-so to a bill, what is he saying? What is he voting for? See, we need to hold these people accountable before we get them in office. Because when you don't do that, then they can just, you know, it's like popularity. Popularity. Let them in. We do that because we don't have the right people. When you don't got the right people around you, they'll tell you, oh, yeah, Jesse Jackson came to our church. And he goes, after church, you getting autographs from Jesse Jackson. Because he came to your church. You know, it sort of remind me of that. What's the thing we have in a few months? No, the Black Expo here. So here this is a gospel thing. And they bring in the guy from the Browns and the carnal people. Everybody, the world, black people, we just take them all. That man ain't no Christian. But the Black Expo, we just kind of mix the pot. And then we have a little gospel. You know, I saw on the TV they're going to have Paul S. Morton coming. Just dead. All it is entertainment. And, you know, we can do that as long as we don't call that Christianity. Because it's entertainment. Tyler Perry is an entertainer. If he's making money, that's fine. Ain't nobody arguing the Black Expo. If that's what they do, the thing that gets me is what he... Black, we think that's God. So you'll have people when Paul S. Morton get up there with these carnal people, they taking like movie stars, they taking pictures, and then it's like when we start lifting, everybody just praising God like God got something to do with a man that comes on TV and mock the church. People dying and going to hell, and Christians, we sitting there and be entertained by that. We pay our money to see that and laugh. That's why when things happen, we have nothing to say. When you mature Christian, as a Christian, you don't see stuff like that as, oh, let's just do. You got to be carnal to do stuff like that. You know, where they get up and they just mock the church. And we think that's okay. Movies, the black church is just mocked. They get the robes and they shout and this, all this, and people make fun of it. That's why God is emptied out. But then we support it. And then we cry. You can think of a picture of a mother sitting in her living room. A Christian mother trying to raise three, four children. And one of them just got shot. If you go to that den, and I've seen this, and you look on that DVD counter, I could tell you the same videos that's alike. Y'all might say, oh no, you can't do that. I'm telling you what I go and I see. Good times. I could tell you all the videos, the carnality, why you can't pull your child off the street. You're quitting because when God is saying you need to do something else, you sit down and you're watching all this carnality and it sidelines you. You say, oh, I can't do nothing. I got to turn it over to prayer. Instead of you doing and getting out on the street and God has said, do something radical. Go out on the corner and snatch him and say, boy, you coming home. And out of that, God will use you. But you couldn't tell most believers that. Most of the time you see it. I remember the guy, Daddy Wuss, the guy that took over the church, Brenda Church, Johnson, his son, was on drugs and stuff, and he was telling me how he went on the street. If you see this boy now, he doing so much better. But he told me how it's Mike, yeah, his son. He told me how he went on the street and took his son, because all his cousins in jail are doing something. But you know what he did? He said, my son ain't going to be like that. So he took a radical approach and went and got him. Said, boy, I ain't letting you do that. You stay here. He drunk, pushing him in the house, saying, no, you're not going to be like. And you may say, no, but see, that's a stance that comes from within to say, no, I'm not letting the enemy do that. You sit down, you watching all these sitcoms, Tyler Perry and all that, and you feeding your spirit with all this all the time. When trouble comes, you just settle out. Well, I can't do no more. What you mean you can't do no more for your child? I'll do whatever I got to do. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. You don't sit back and say, oh, my family, my children, my wife. You don't just give up like that when God is in you. You don't just say, oh, there's no way. No, there's going to be a new way because God is going to arise within me. You don't give up. We need fighters. But you sideline when you're around the wrong people. You get around the wrong people, then it's okay for you to sit up for hours and watch all. I'm not saying occasionally watch things. But I'm talking about when you constantly, every night, every day. You can't be a Christian like that. You cannot separate yourself from false and what God is doing when you do it like that. We're not talking about trouble. We're talking about patterns. Trouble can come and go. But I'm talking about when you've developed a pattern in your life that goes the way of the world. And I tell you, when I go and I see people in death, especially African Americans, when I go in their house, it doesn't fail. Tyler Perry, them Browns, and I can see the Jeffersons, Good Times. You see the whole little four-thing DVD. They done got and took their time and ordered it. Wait on it to come back. And they sitting right there. And they think, oh, no, that ain't nothing. I'm not talking about them in particular, but anything that stopped Christ from manifesting in the flesh is of the Antichrist. You got to stop that. You got to grow. You're setting yourself up. Get your team together. It's okay if you occasionally see what's out there. I mean, I go to the movies sometime. I want to know what's out there. I check out movies. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about these little sitcoms that have nothing to do with God. And you got an appetite for them. Every night, every day, you know. How many know we got to stop that? I'm just saying if you want to grow, because what happens is that stuff rubs off on you. And when God comes in to try to do something, he can't do it. Because you're more connected to the world than you are to God. And we got to change that. Are you with me? All right, let me give you one more thing. Let me read this real quick in verse number 8. The Bible says, this people draw nigh unto me with thy mouth and honor me with thy lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of who? Men. Another thing that you got to do if you're going to separate yourself is you got to be a person of worship. In other words, you got to worship God. You know, before you get in the word, you got to worship. Worship always realign your priorities when it comes to God. When you don't worship God, you can go at the word and don't get it right. Because you're just reading scriptures like everybody else. When you worship God, it makes you feel like, Lord, your word is hidden in my heart. I just don't want to sin against you. See, it softens your heart when you worship. It's a sign of surrender, like, Lord, I'm going in this word for you to do whatever you want to do in me. See, if you don't worship, you'll never be strong enough to separate yourself. Most believers cannot go from false to true because they're not worshipers. You can't worship God for 20 minutes and something not happen in your heart. It's like you can't do it. You can't say, Lord, I love you. I said, you can't do that and something don't go like, Lord, whatever you want to do in this life, however you want to do it. What happens is you get soft and you say, Lord, your way, not the king, not the God, the worldly way. But worship does that. Most times the enemy will try to sideline us because he don't want you to open your mouth and start worship. When you get hard up, you don't want to worship. Break out into praise and worship. Father, I thank you. I praise you. I give you glory. You start calling God and telling him who he is. You can't do that. It's just like somebody, if they come to you and keep telling you everything, what do? You swell up. Your children come to you. Oh, daddy, you're the best daddy that I ever had. That don't work with me no more, though, because they do it too much. But if they do that, what happens? You get excited. You're like, oh, give them what they want. God is the same way. Most believers, we don't take time to worship. Simple. Worship God. Get you some music and worship God before your day go on. What happens when you do that? When the enemy comes in, what happens? Worship realigns your priority. See, worship will tell you, you know what? I ain't going to get no applause for this, but I love God more. Worship will tell you, you know I've got some battles ahead, but I'm going to do it God's way anyway. When you worship God, it brings God's reality to your everyday life. Most people don't worship. You can't be on your job and start praying in tongues and letting your mind go with God and say, Father, I thank you. I lift you up. You're greater than this job. Come on, you know that thing begin to permeate in your spirit. Like, you know what? You really are greater than this job. Why am I letting these things get to me? Why I'm letting these things erupt? Lord, you're greater than my emotional challenges. And then you start thinking like, oh, God, look at this stuff. God can really overdo this. He's greater than it. Then you start saying things like he's the King of Kings. So, yes, you're not denying there's a king. But what you're saying is your God is the king of that king. You're not denying the reality, but you're bringing God on the scene. How you do that? Through worship. Through worship. Just worship him. Spend time in worship. You'll move from false to true. You separate yourself. Your heart will be like God. Compassion. You'll see false people. Why? Because you know they ain't worshiping. When you don't worship, you treat people like a product. You run them through. Pastors don't have to pastor anymore. Even though a pastor means you pastor. I mean, you're among the sheep. But when you don't worship, it's just a business. You can go off into that because God is not convicted. Nothing there. You just go to the word. Well, I'm teaching. And your gift become alienated. And that's what God, Jesus was saying in John. The vine cannot be detached from the vine, man. In other words, the source. You cannot detach yourself from God because God just start growing you a little bit. It don't work like that. That's why you see people when they say, I'm going to start a ministry. And they go out and it sound good for a little bit, but then it just dry up. Why? Because they're not connected. They're not staying attached. God don't want you to just use him for what you can do in this world. That's called manipulation. See, and most people think that God want to do something in you, but God really want you. He wants you. He wants you to stay connected because he wants to fellowship with us. But when you don't worship, you just go through 4 or 5 days. You ain't got to pray. You don't need the Lord. You might hear gospel music, but that is all. I don't need all that because I know God like the old people, or not the old people, the dead people in the prison. I know God in my heart. God in my heart. No, I know the Lord. I don't play with the Lord now. All these are signs that say I've not moved on. God did something for me, but I haven't moved on. Anytime you hear that, all it says is say, you don't know my heart. It's been 15 years and you can't work something out of your heart. That's because you're not moving on. All it's saying is I ain't moving on. If all you can say is I'm saved, Holy Ghost filled, mighty burning fire. If that's all you can say, And you got to tell people it's because nothing has worked out. And all that is a declaration. Hey, I'm stopping here. And that's what most denominations do. They recognize their stopping point and they say, call me this. If I'm Church of God in Christ, all the singers. So I'll stop right here. No matter what denomination it is, they call it out. All they, you tell it what they're good at. But they stop. I mean, no, God, we can do all things. God don't want a limited church. I mean, no, the African-American church, you know, when the Caucasians didn't want us to worship them in those days, they created the AME simply because they didn't want us to worship. They put us out the church, our culture. But that ain't the case now. So why are we still doing it? We have to change that. You know, because times are different. Things begin to change. If things were like that, why? Because you create doctrine to accommodate what God is doing. Not use doctrine to quench. Whenever you are involved with people and things that are obsolete, it begins to quench the now move of God. Because it's outdated. Back in the day, what did they use to drive? Horses. We don't need horses now. Only the church stays in this old decrepit state and try to hold on to it outside of history class. And the move of God is left, and we still doing the same thing. How many know we got to change that? You change that because you separate yourself from the false and the true. You got to make sure this happens. I'm telling you, in the days ahead, if we don't do this, we'll be just like these Pharisees. Lip service, no worship, no do of the word, hanging around wrong people. You got to make up in your mind that you got to do it God's way. When we do that, we don't have to worry about people. Some of us, like I say, we still let people be bothering us because somebody, your mama or somebody, your cousin, they saying that, you know, you really disappoint me. These are worldly people, and you letting them get you. Well, I ain't your God anyway, Joni. Tell your cousin, I never said I was your God. And you letting them sideline you because of your purpose over what they say when they don't even go to church. And you just letting them get to your heart. They in some dead church, ain't serving God the way you are, and if you still letting that seep on you, they're not even doing nothing. They don't understand where you're going. And you letting their opinions violate your conscience because you taking it in. You want them. That's Job and his friends you got around you. And you have to say, no, you can think whatever you want to think. Because the keys to your destiny is not in the hands of a man. When you realize that, you'll be done with people. You do your part with people. Because people will, you know, you ever have a conversation, and this happens sometime with some of y'all. If it's a bunch of situation, and then everybody got a little nitpick. It's like 20, 30 people, and then you telling me something about one person. That's not enough. That person going to have to adjust because we ain't going to take all our apples and just try to make somebody there. How many know some people ain't going to like what we doing? We're going to miss a few in the cracks. That's just life, anything. But you don't want to major in minor things. You keep working at it, but you don't stop the flow of God because somebody said they didn't like the way Sheena said something to them, and they thought because she was up here singing that she should not have said that, and then they went home. Well, you know, you have to tell them, listen, sweetie, if you left the church because somebody said something wrong to you, let me get you connected to God. Because when you got people, you're going to have problems every so often, as long as it's not constant. But you'll have that. A little run in here and there. But we're not going to stop and say, well, we need to, you know, sort of remind me one time of a preacher got up and one person didn't come to church. And then he spent a whole Sunday's message talking about you should be in church. When the one person is the only one, these are the people who came. I mean, you telling them,
But they the one who came. Talk to them. Go talk to him individually. Why are you going to let everything be spread like that? It doesn't make sense, does it? You do that simply because you allow people. And what the enemy will do, he'll take your influence, Cassandra, and he will blast his small thing because you don't know who you are. Because he can get in you. He'll take your influence, even though you value this opinion. He know he can't do nothing, but he'll try to get to you because he know that what you're carrying, you got the most. And when it affects you, it permeates everything. Over something small. Somebody hurt your feelings. Somebody did this. Somebody did this on the job. Somebody, you know, this is the biggest thing on the job where you feel like people disrespect you. Or they walk over you. You feel like that. Like, man, they need to come on now. Don't talk to me like that. But if they did that to Jesus, why you think you different? You're no different. So when people don't know God, they're going to talk to you a certain way. They're going to say certain things. Okay, but you taking that to heart like, man, now listen now, you need to respect. You can't do that to people in the world like that. Because you're only going to be around these people for a little bit of time. You got to be a little bit more tolerant. But see, some of us, if you don't know how to separate yourself, a lot of times the enemy will use you. God trying to get you to be stronger, and you just listen the little petty stuff. But they don't do this on the job. It's a job. Work as hard as you can. Do what you can do, but stop letting people dictate to you how your day going to go and how you going to feel. Know who your Redeemer is. The moment you realize who you are, you'll stop that. People won't be able to make you upset and all this every day, and they do something to you, they say something to you. Oh, who's she talking to? You won't be like that. That's carnality. You want to get in the fight. See, that's JJ and Evans. I'm telling you. Who? You better not come with me. That's Fred. I'm just telling y'all. But you'll think, oh no, that stuff rises up in you. You want to say exactly. You ain't going to say it exactly, but it's the same spirit that you've been feeding yourself. You're going to act like that. Then you always got to catch it and say, well, I'm a Christian don't care. Because they don't have a hell or a heaven to put you in. A Christian will say, oh, you know what? These people are actually retarded. You keep that in your mind. They don't really know. If they knew, if the devil knew that Christ was going to do, he wouldn't have killed him. But the world is blind. But if you carnal, you get right on that soulish level. Let's argue this thing out. Who's she talking to? You a Christian. Tongue talker. Who's she talking to? When you should just be saying, let me get out of this. If I hurt somebody. That's what you ought to be saying and dismiss yourself. It's okay to say things like that, but you get out of it. Or these people don't understand this thing here. I got to go. Because I'm about to go off, so I'm out. That's what Christians do. They don't go toe to toe with people that's not in the world, and then you catch yourself. Remind me of the time I told y'all in Charlotte where one of the preachers going back to back with somebody that's in jail, and he's a Muslim, and he's arguing with him. You coming to bring the good news, and then you fighting with the guy. No, God ain't like that. You call on your God. He can't do nothing. Why you got him in jail? You know, he's arguing with the guy, and he's supposed to be carrying the gospel. I said, Jackie, you can't do nothing like that, man. You're a grown man arguing with him. You don't never have to argue with people. Tell him you don't know. I don't know, man. You probably know more of the Bible than me. I don't mind saying that. Why? Because your destiny is not in their hands. Them people that have you thinking you got to be like this and you got to go here. They'll say, how much schooling do you have? And all that, your self-esteem getting lower and lower because you buying into the world where they're boxing you in again. Even though God called you, God gave you the anointing and everything, you're letting them tell you all kind of stuff. Instead of you just telling them, oh, okay, that's the way you went. God bless you. When God shines his light on you, it ain't nothing nobody can do. So you don't have to worry about man. Don't worry about it. Don't let people keep talking you into that. And like I say, some of y'all family members or people, you got to establish strong relationships with your family. Tell them, you know, not to disown your parents and stuff like that or your aunties and stuff. Nobody said that. But just live your life. I've never seen a mother, father, auntie that disagrees with somebody that's in the will of God. They may not can't come close because they don't want to change. But I ain't seen them say, oh, you serving God? You know you ain't right. You disowning the family because you're serving God. They don't do that. They don't do that. If you serve God, they'll understand that. As you get stronger, you don't not go to the family reunion because you save and they're a bunch of heathens. That's what hypocrites do. And then you think, oh, I don't feel like that. Exactly what you say. You don't feel like that. God looking for people who he can work through. You don't feel like that. And where you witnessing that? Who lives you change and says you don't feel like it? What you want to just keep coming to church and getting a word for you? Go ye into the world and preach the gospel.
Hey, this is Pastor Brad McCleary Sr. Listen, I know that the word of God is feeding your spirit to allow you to build even more. Listen. You can go to our website at impactchurchusa.org and begin to feed your spirit even more. I need you to get these CDs into the hands of people that are hungry to hear what God is saying, no matter where they may be, because I believe that God is beginning to transform a generation that will go from glory to glory.